Once again, good evening to everyone. Evening. Appreciate the elders giving me this opportunity to stand before you and proclaim God's word. I'm truly honored and blessed to have this opportunity. If you're visiting with us tonight, we want you to open up your Bibles and follow along with us in this lesson. We want you to understand that the things we say, the things we teach, are directly from the word of God. It is not what we think or is none of our opinions, but is directly from the word of God. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk about grasshopper faith. Grasshopper faith. After many years in slavery in the land of Egypt, the nation of Israel had been freed from the grip of Pharaoh's brutality. The people had walked through the Red Sea on dry land. Israel was ready for God to guide them through the wilderness to lead them into the promised land, the land Jehovah had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God told Moses it was time to enter the land of promise. He instructed Moses to send out 12 men, one from each tribe, to spy out the land. And at the end of 40 days, they returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole nation of Israel. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 13, and beginning at verse 27. That's Numbers chapter 13, beginning at 27. And it reads, "And they told him, 'We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan.'" Verse 30. "But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it.' Then the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we are.' So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim, and we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers. And so we seem to them.'" Now, my question is, who told them they look like grasshoppers? Who told them that those inhabitants of the land looked at them or considered them as grasshoppers? Who told them that? Israel had developed a grasshopper complex. They became immobile because of fear. Fear is a self-imposed prison. Let me say that fear is a self-imposed prison. It makes us unusable in the mission of the church and what God would have us to do. The fear kept Israel and will keep us from becoming what God desires us to be. Amen. At times in our lives, we can develop that grasshopper complex. We begin to think and act out of fear rather than faith in the power of God. We create a set of false perceptions and emotions that control us. We're scared and we won't move because of what we perceive, and we forget about God. As Christians, our success depends on which seems largest in our eyes. See, in their eyes, they look like grasshoppers to the inhabitants. We can't do it. They're stronger than we are. They're more mighty than we are. So which seems largest in our eyes? The difficulty of the task we have before us, or the God who can help us do the task we must face? Grasshopper faith measures by human strength. Let's go to Numbers 13, verses 1 and 2. Numbers 13, verses 1 and 2. "The Lord spake to Moses, saying, 'Send me in to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel, from each tribe of their fathers, so you shall send a man, everyone a chief among them.' So Moses sent from them the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all the men who were heads of the people of Israel." God promised the land. It says it's yours. Go up and possess it. Go and take it. It's yours. And so, you know, God gives us things, but, you know, we might pray for things. We might pray for a house or we might pray for a car, but he's just not going to make it appear out of a thin air. We got to go work for it, right? So these people, they had, if they wanted this land, they had up and go and possess it. He had promised them. They would say, we can do it. But when God promises something, we can be assured that it is ours, but he's not just going to give it to us. We got to do something to get it. Right. And as Christian and Brian this morning were talking about evangelism, if we want to save souls, we just don't pray. We need to put some feet on those prayers. Numbers 14, 6 through 9, the land was theirs for the taking. Numbers 14, 6 through 9. Once again, we see the land was theirs for the taking. It was their possession. In verse 6, it says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy it out, it is an exceedingly good land, and if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear. Do we believe that as Christians? The Lord is with us. If we are his people, the Lord is with us. We should not fear what we have to do in order to go out and be evangelistic. We should not fear about those who make fun of us as Christians. As a, you know, as a church, as we have a mission to save souls. And we shouldn't fear what people say to us.
That's right.
Because God is with us. You hear people say all the time in the world, I hear them say all the time, especially when it comes to homosexual and same-sex marriage, they say, history is on our side. No, history's not on your side. Eternal damnation is on your side. So here, a grasshopper faith measures by human strength. They were thinking of themselves and not thinking that God was with them. That God, the power of God was going to help them possess that land. Our faith must be in the power of God. Romans 8:31. Remember, Paul said, I have no confidence in the flesh. We should have confidence in our flesh. We should have confidence in the power of God because we will have some things, some tasks we got to face. And we must have faith in God. Romans 8 and the verses 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Don't have to say no more, do you? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who should we be afraid of? If God is with us. Psalms 118:6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Sounds confident, doesn't he? What shall I fear? The Lord is on my side. Are we confident that the Lord is on our side? Are we walking, are we living in fear of what people might say? Or are we having confidence in the promises of God? See, God promised them the land. They didn't have confidence in his promise. They were only thinking about, we can't do this. They were only thinking themselves. So grasshopper faith measures in human strength. Grasshopper faith makes hollow the word of God. Unbelief causes fear and inaction. Numbers 14:1-3. It says, then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. They wept all night long. They were like, we can't get that land. We traveled this far. We come out of Egypt, and now we come this far, and we can't get that land because those people are more powerful and mightier than we are. Verse 2, and all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. They were some rebel rousers, wasn't they? They were always mumbling and complaining. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Wait a minute. He just brought you out of slavery. He just made you walk on dry land. He fed you in the desert. He gave you water in the desert. They said, why is the Lord bringing us to this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? You want to go back to bondage? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. We don't want to die by it. But they'd rather be in bondage than be free, because they were fearful of trying to overcome those inhabitants in the land. God has made a promise to Moses. Let's Exodus 3, 7 and 8. I keep emphasizing in this lesson that God made a promise. He made a promise to the Israelites. Go up and take possession of it. And in the scripture reading, it says, go up immediately and take possession of it. Don't wait. Don't linger. At verse 7 in Exodus 3, it reads, then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and heard their cry of their taskmasters. This is before they even left. God promised them the land. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. God made a promise even before they left Egypt that he was going to give them the land. And all through their way, all through the wilderness, God made a promise to them that they were going to get this land. And when they came to the point of possessing the land, they said, we can't do it. They're more mightier than we are. We can't do it. Because, see, they forgot about God saying that he was going to be with them. He was with them, wasn't he? In a cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. He didn't leave them, did he? Hearing the word of God must be united with belief. See, they heard Moses tell them to possess the land, spy out the land, but they didn't believe God. They didn't believe what he said. Hebrews 4, 1 through 3. The hearing of God's word must be united with belief. Verse 1 of Hebrews 4. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, he's talking to us now, let us fear lest any of us should seem to have failed to reach it. See, they were entering into a physical rest, the land of milk and honey. God has promised us an eternal rest. And some of us can fall short of that. Amen. Just like some of them fell short in the wilderness because of unbelief. And when I studied that, I said, wait a minute, they believed God, didn't they? They believed who God was. But you know what it's talking about obedience. That's why they didn't get in. That's why they fell in the wilderness, because they did not obey God. When God said, go up and possess the land, he meant go up and possess the land. And sometimes he tells us things, and it's not a walk in a park. It's hard, isn't it? And so we have to make up our mind we're going to do it, because God is with us. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of us should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he said. So we can fall short. Just because we're members of the body of Christ doesn't mean that we have a ticket punch for heaven. It doesn't mean that. And a lot of Christians believe that. That once you become a member of the church, that now you can just sit back and wait for Jesus. No, you can't wait for Jesus to come back. You have to work at your salvation in fear and trembling of the Lord. And when we say work, we don't mean just going through the motions. Work means exerting yourself. We have to exert ourselves if we're going to be pleasing to God. Grasshopper faith despises the provisions of God. God will provide. We got to trust and wait on him. Amen. Numbers 14:11. Sometimes God, you know, God's not on our schedule, it's on his schedule. And sometimes we wait on him and he doesn't give it in our time and then we give up. We give up praying about it. We give up doing right because if God's not going to do this for me, then I'm not going to do anything for him. That's the wrong attitude. Amen. Verse 11 in Numbers 14. And they will tell the inhabitants of the land that they have heard you, O Lord. I want to say 14:11. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people despise me? How long will they not believe in me? In spite of all the signs that I have done among them, I will strike them with a pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. They despise the manna in the desert. They despise the water in the desert. They despise walking on dry land. They despise being free from bondage. God provided all that for them, and they still didn't trust him. They still were murmuring and complaining. Let's make some captives. Let's head on back to Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. We're going to fall by the sword here amongst the Amorites. We're going to die. Our children are going to be prey. God will provide. We have to trust him. At times we can forget like they did. Psalms 106. Beginning at verse 21. Psalms 106 beginning at verse 21. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he will destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him and turned away his wrath from destroying them. Then they despised the pleasant land, having no faith in his promise. They despised the land that he said, go up and take possession, it's yours. They murmured in their tents and did not obey the voice of the Lord. You know, they murmured in their tents. Sometimes they brought their murmuring before Moses, but they were in their tents murmuring and complaining. Maybe they were talking about taking over or killing Moses or doing away with Aaron. They were complaining. Sometimes Christians, we have a tendency to murmur and complain, don't we? All right. Sometimes we don't like the song leader. Sometimes we don't like the songs that he's singing. Sometimes we don't like what the elders are doing. We murmuring and complaining. So we don't forget about what God has provided for us. There's a lot of congregations don't have elders. There's a lot of congregations don't have good song leaders. See, we despising the provision that God has given us. And we can't do that. There's a terrible outcome for them to despise God. Hebrews 10:28. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. So anyone who goes against the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of just two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the spirit of grace? What is going to be the worst punishment for those who have come to be set aside in the service of God and have left? Despising the blood of Jesus Christ that draws us near to God. Despising the sacrifice that was made on our account. And they have left and forgot about God. Forgot about what God has done for them. How much worse will the punishment be? Grasshopper faith presumes success without God. We cannot be successful as Christians without God. We were baptized into Christ, and we can't say once we're into Christ that we try to separate ourselves and try to do things on our own, not following the instructions of God. He's laid it out for us in this book we call the Bible. Our ways are not his ways. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So we always think we got the better plan than God. God says, do it this way. No, I think I can do it better this way, God. We always assume that we can be successful without God, without God helping us or without God being with us. I can do this on my own, Lord. Our ways are not his ways. Amen. We are wholly connected to him. Acts 17. Begin at verse 26. And Paul, as he addresses the Areopagus, he says, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should see God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. And even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. And I want to look at that a little bit closer. It says, in him we live and move and have our being. We live. God is constantly sustaining us. Amen. Sometimes we forget about this. Amen. We just forget about it. He gives us oxygen. He gives us sunshine. He gives us rain, etc. He's always providing for us. Amen. We live because of him. Amen. He's constantly sustaining us. We move. Our strength to move about is from God. We get up in the morning. We should pray, thank you, Lord, for letting me see this day. And be with me as I go through my day. Because my strength comes from you. We have our being. Our existence is entirely dependent on God. If we didn't have any oxygen, if we didn't get any sunshine, if we didn't get rain from time to time, we would not be here. Amen. So we live, we move, and have our being. We are totally and completely dependent upon God. We cannot succeed without him. That's right. And if we try, we will fail. Grasshopper faith incurs the sentence of God. Numbers 14, beginning at verse 27. Numbers 14. See, a lot of times as Christians, we talk about doing the right things and living a Christian life. As Brian was talking about this morning, being an example. And we can do those things, but sometimes we just have to be courageous. God wants some courageous Christians. He doesn't want fearful Christians. He wants Christians to be courageous. To stand there when everybody else is against you and say, homosexuality is a sin. Same-sex marriage is a sin. Right. When everybody else is saying, no, but we have the right to love anybody we want, you say, no, that's not what God said. Don't you think that takes courage? When everybody is against you? Well, let me tell you something. As Christians, we're always going to be in the minority. Amen. We're never going to be in the majority. Right. So if you want to choose to be courageous, because you're not going to have a lot of people around you backing you up. But you know, God, or Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Numbers 14, beginning at verse 27. How long shall this wicked congregation grumble against me? I've heard the grumblings of the people of Israel, which they grumble against me. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in the wilderness, and all of your number listed in the census from 20 years old and upward who have grumbled against me, not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb and the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones who you said will become prey, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your dead body shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and shall suffer for your faithlessness until the last of your dead body lies in the wilderness. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days a year for each day that you shall bear your iniquity, 40 years and you shall know my displeasure. Man, that's so sad. That is so sad. Because they didn't trust in God. They didn't trust in his promises. So they didn't get to enter into the land of promise. But the thing is saying, it's the same for us. If we don't trust God, we won't enter into that eternal rest either. We sure won't. Because we can't act being fearful. Because in Revelation it says that those who will be tossed in the lake of fire, those are going to be the ones that are fearful. Fearful to stand up for the truth. Fearful to get out of that comfort zone. A lot of people, I'm comfortable, man. I ain't moving. I like being where I'm at. Because if I step out of my comfort zone, I'm not sure I can do it. Well, God is going to be with you. You're not doing it on your own. Unless you try to do it outside of God's word. But if you stay within the doctrine of Christ, you will be helped by God. Amen. He has promised us that. John 3:36. John 3:36. 3:36. John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. You see that? Whoever believes in the Son. So if you believe in the Son, then that means you will obey him. Hebrews 5:9 tells us that eternal life is given to those who obey the Son. Because a lot of people believe that they just want to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and they don't do anything other than that. They just believe. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see light, but the wrath of God remains on him. Didn't we see they didn't believe God? And we see what the wrath of God was on them, and their dead bodies were left in the wilderness because they did not trust. They were not obedient to God's word. Let us not make the same mistake. Hebrews 4:11. And as you study this, it says at verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest. And the striving means to actually agonize. It's hard. It's hard. It's not easy. It's hard. The Hebrew writer says, strive to enter into that eternal rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Talking about those in the wilderness. Let us not. It's been given for our example, right? To see what they did and how they failed, and we can do the same thing. Amen. The same thing can happen to us. Eternal punishment, Matthew 25:46. Talk about the separating, the final judgment, the ones on the left and the ones on the right. And then the ones on the left, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The grasshopper faith incurs the sentence of God. And we see what happened to them, and the same thing can happen to us. God has promised us eternal rest, but it's up to us. If God tells us to do something, then let us go and do it, knowing that he will not leave us alone. Take heed of the grasshopper faith. 1 Corinthians 10:11-12. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. And it says at verse 12, therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. And I'll say this, and every time I stand before y'all, whenever we read the Word of God, whenever we are sitting there and somebody's speaking to us, we ought to take inventory of ourselves. Amen. To see where we are. and see where we need to be. Because that's what God wants us to do. And if there's a change, we need to make a change. We have to make a change. Our souls depend upon it. Amen. We can't just keep hearing the word and do nothing. Amen. Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. You know, lessons like this, they should encourage us to, like I said, look at ourselves and inventory our lives. See where we are. Do we have that faith that causes us to be inactive? Were we fearing the things that might be put before us? See, God will test us, and we got to understand that those tests are to make us stronger. Amen. They're not to tear us down. And so we have to understand that. He wants us to grow. And so if we're not growing, that's because we don't believe. And if we don't believe, then we'll incur the sentence of God. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become a Christian. We want you to become a Christian because God wants you to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to perish. Amen. He wants everybody to be saved. So if you're not a Christian, your opportunity is right here this hour to become a Christian, be separated, sanctified in the service of God. That's what he wants. And if you are a Christian but you haven't been living right, now's your opportunity to get right with God. Now's your opportunity to repent and take your rightful place and work out your soul salvation in fear and trembling of the Lord. This opportunity is yours. Opportunities don't come because we don't know when our life will be over. We don't know when Jesus is coming. So if you're here tonight and you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.